when we shouldn't make other things the main thing. You know, when I look at Scripture, and you can begin to turn in your Scripture to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be discussing that in a moment, but I'm going to give you a couple of things. And I want you to know that the Lord has been working in my life this week and talking about even my own distractions. There are many things in this world that we deem as absolutely necessary. I mean, we feel like we have to do this, and we have to do this, and we need to make sure that this happens. And I want to know, I want us to think this morning even, when was the last time that we thought spending time at the feet of Jesus was absolutely necessary? In fact, what we'll find in this Luke chapter 10 is that Jesus says not only is it the necessary thing, it's one of the most important things. It's the most important thing that we need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. And so this morning, this passage depicts two women, one who's sitting at the feet of Jesus and one who's making preparations for the Lord. And so when we look at that this morning, we're going to see that both had good intentions. And I'm going to tell you that there are people who walk this earth who are believers who have great intentions but spend no time with the Father. We think that we have to do everything we can to work. And it takes really, even sometimes when we're working what we think for the Lord, it takes our attention off of the Lord. And we need to come back and we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And there's nothing more important in this life than sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's kind of the picture of being held. And this week, a song really spoke to me, and I'm going to share that with you, and I wanted to make sure that you see the lyrics, that you're able to read those lyrics, and so we've put that, we've got that for you, and I want you to be mindful, to think through the words, to listen to the music, but ultimately what this song will refocus us in is sitting at the feet of Jesus, being held by Jesus. Take a look.
It all together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Eyes are on a storm, you wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted, in time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes, your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be seems so far away. You're not alone, stop holding on and
just be healed. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be healed. Just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Just be
I needed to hear that this week, and I am confident that there are many here who needed to hear that this week, that when our eyes are on the storm and we can't see what's going on, God is still there. When our eyes are on the cross, we understand a little bit better. But sometimes it's hard to keep our eyes on the cross when we are facing the storms. When I was about 6 or 7 years old in Southeast Texas, Aaron and I, as you know, we were a couple of guys who were, can we bring up the house lights, please, Scott? Aaron and I were two kids who were rambunctious, to say the least, and we had gone to a bookstore in the mall with our parents, and a bookstore in a mall is not a big place, but for a 7 or 8 year old, it's certainly a place that you can get lost. By the way, for those of you who are younger, a bookstore is a place where there used to be books, okay? And so we were there, and Aaron and I were trying to read some kids' stories and things like that. Mom and Dad were trying to find other different places. And after a while, we had been there for about 5 to 10 minutes, I believe. And after a while, Aaron and I had kind of convinced ourselves that our parents weren't there anymore. And so we did what all good kids did, right? We went to somebody to find them and say, hey, can you tell us where our parents are? No, that's not what we did. We took a look both ways, and we convinced each other that they're not here. Our parents are not here. And so what did we do? For a 7 or 8 year old, the logical thing to do would be to walk out of that store and start searching the mall for where our parents were, as if our parents would leave us from that store. And so we started walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. And it seemed like that we had been walking for about 30 minutes. And after, it probably wasn't that long. You'll hear why in just a second. But it seemed like an eternity. And as we started walking, we actually started to get a little bit teary-eyed, or my brother did, not me. He was a little teary-eyed. And what happened is someone stopped us and he said, are you guys lost? And I was like, no, we're not. Aaron, yes, we're lost. And we began to tell this guy the story and said, where were your parents last? And we told him they were at the bookstore. And so he says to us, let's walk back down to the bookstore and see if your parents are there. And what we were telling him is that our parents are not there. We looked everywhere. They're not there. Don't bring us back to the bookstore. Take us home. That's kind of our thought then. Yeah, that's terrible as well. Would you know that when we got back to the bookstore, our parents had never left? Never left. They were always there. I'm going to flip gears real quick here, so stay with me. There are many times when we're looking everywhere for the Lord and He was always right there. I want you to know that God is here. His presence, His omnipresence is here. And that is both an intellectual thing and a heart thing. I know intellectually because I read the Scripture, and the Scripture tells me that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Scripture tells us, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's both an intellectual thing, but guess what? At some point in time, that goes into my heart. And it's got to be a both and. I mean, our churches these days are struggling with the idea of making sure that we understand grace as an intellectual mind type thing, that we learn as much as we can about the Bible. Good. And then there are other churches that say we got to make sure that we sense and feel and understand the presence of God. Good. Which one is right? They both are. It is both and. You are attending a church that is saying, hey, we need to broaden that spectrum. We need to continue to understand God intellectually, but it's also experiential as well. Because I'm going to tell you, when you just take God as an intellectual thing, what happens there is legalism. If it's just a transaction for you this morning, that's legalism. And God wanted more for us than that. If it's just an experiential thing and you're just concerned about your emotions, the problem with that is as we get in real trouble, because emotions can be misleading and they can take us places that we don't need to or don't even want to go. But I'm telling you that a true believer, one who's growing in Christ, both has an experiential relationship, has experienced the presence of God when they ask forgiveness of their sins, and then also is pursuing that intellectual. They go together. It's both and. And I know this is completely weird this morning, but as we read the scripture, I'm going to start with my last point. I know that's weird. Never done it before. Don't know why I'm doing it this morning, except for last night I felt like I was supposed to, and now I absolutely believe that I'm supposed to. But we're going to read the scripture, Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in our third point because it's the most important thing, and I think it sets the tone for the rest of our message this morning. And so it says this, Luke chapter 10, would you stand for the reading of God's word? If you don't have your Bible, it's certainly okay. It's going to be on the screens behind us. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and it says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. God, I pray we would focus in just for the next few minutes. We've gone through a lot already this morning. And God, I do not want to be distracted from your word this morning. So God, I pray that you would even hush us, you'd silence us, that you would allow our hearts to be humbled by your heart. God, that you would help us experience you, but you would also help us understand you. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Have a seat. My third point, and if you're taking notes, I know many of you do, is that believers have to live at the feet of Jesus. We have to live at the feet of Jesus. And in our consumeristic American Christianity, there is too much going on, and we're not spending time at the feet of Jesus just being held. And I believe a lot of times the reason we don't want to be held is because our picture in the past of being held by maybe even a parent is not the picture that we'd want to hold on to. But I want you to know that our God is much bigger and much greater than our past circumstances. He's much bigger than that. And believers, as we live at the feet of Jesus, what we're going to find is that we will live in the presence of God. And sometimes I think we have this mixed up. We think that living in the presence means that when we die, we get to go be in his presence. But the Bible tells us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come so that we might have life and have it to the fullest. The scripture informs us that God knows all things, that God knows our heart. That's presence, people. That God wants to be intimately, he wants to be involved with his children. That's presence. But you know that every Sunday when we come and we gather in this place, it says, where two or more are gathered, there I will be also. That's presence. Sometimes maybe we have slipped too far to one side or the other. Maybe we've made this an academic exercise, and we know that when we come into this place that we need to wear our Sunday best and we need to be ready to sing the three or four songs that we're going to sing, and the pastor's going to preach. He's going to preach a little too long, and then he's going to sing a couple more songs, and then we're going to go home and not be changed. And here's the reason we're not changed: because we didn't take time to be held by the Father, to be in the presence of God. And by the way, we are in the presence of God even when we're outside or beyond the walls of this church. God desires presence with us. I think it's very well articulated in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses is trying to lead the people out of Egypt, and they've had struggles, and God is upset with the people. And just mark this down, Exodus 33, and you can read it a little bit later on. But God is upset with the people, and the scripture says that God tells Moses, I'm going to let you keep going, but I'm not going with you, because if I went with you, I'd destroy you. You have ticked me off. That's the ARV. That's not NIV. Adam Revised Version. But trust me, that's the sentiment. And Moses says, but God, you promised. You promised your presence. And I know that we are a failed people. I know that we have done wrong, but you promised you'd be with us. And the scripture says in that same passage that when the people encountered Jesus, they'd go outside of the village and they would go to a tent, and Moses was in this tent and he was speaking to God as a friend speaks to a friend. I want you to know that's presence. I want you to know that God still does that same thing today, if not more. Because when Jesus died on the cross, what we see is the temple veil was torn, and there is nothing between us and God anymore. That's presence. That presence is, yes, a mind thing, but it also must be a heart thing. Believers must live in the presence of God, but they also need to live in the present. And here's what I mean by that. When we start trying to talk about living at the feet of Jesus, there are going to be naysayers. And in America, the naysayers are extremely loud these days. Extremely loud. I mean, most of us in here now are scared of talking about our faith for fear of someone saying back to us, I don't want to talk about that, or I don't believe that, or why don't you tell me about this, or tell me about this time when God wasn't there, when I was really struggling, and we have no answers for that, and so we just don't want to talk about Jesus. I am telling you that we need to live in the present, and every day is a new day, and every day is an opportunity for us to share what God has done in our life. Every day. And if God has truly changed you, you can't help but speak about that. You can't help it. Did you know that the Houston Rockets got Chris Paul 2 or 3 weeks ago? And now they're going for Carmelo Anthony? I mean, they are going to put up a big fight for Golden State once we get Carmelo Anthony on the Houston Rockets. We're going to put up a big fight, and Rockets are going to win the Western Conference and the NBA Finals. I had no problem talking about that. Did you know that I was in the 94 Finals Game 7 against the New York Knicks? I was there. I have no problem talking about that. Did you know that Jesus Christ completely changed my life, and He changed me from the inside out, and He's still changing me, and He's still working in my life, and I still sense His presence every day, and I want to live in the present with Him right now. Right now. We have struggles, though, right? We have real issues. Our issues are illustrated right here. In Mark, or what is it, Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And I want to be very careful about how I present this. I think it's extremely important. But what we find, well, first let's take a look at Mary. So where I'm going is my first point, and then we're gonna finish up with Martha. But believers When they live at Jesus' feet, how do they do that? They listen at Jesus' feet. Here's what it says in verse 38 and 39. As Jesus and his disciples were on his way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. I think it's important for us to note that Mary was silent. By the way, I also want to be careful that I note here that I am in no way, no how, discussing gender being silent here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Mary is doing exactly what she should be doing. She's listening to the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? It's Jesus, our Savior, our King. She's at his feet in his presence, and she's listening. She's humbled. This idea of listening means that she's hearing the teaching. She's understanding the teaching. And I want to say to us as believers, there are times when we need to just stop and listen. What's your prayer life like? It's a big laundry list, I'm sure. Of God, can you do this, 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 and this? And by the way, we'll spend a lot of time, especially when it affects us personally, talking about that laundry list of the people that we have. And by the way, the best prayer warriors among us, right? You've got this long list. You're praying for all of these people by name, and you're saying, God bless the pastor. I hope you pray for me. God bless the associate pastor. I hope you're praying for them. And you got all your family, and you got your youth minister, and you got your church, and you got all these people. And you pray, and you talk for about 30, 40 minutes, and then you spend no time listening. I am convinced that communication should happen both ways. Just ask my wife. I guarantee you, she'll tell you that, okay, Adam, if you're going to talk, I'm going to talk as well. And that's real communication, right? That's really communicating. Have you ever been with those people who you sat with them and they did all the talking and you were just absolutely miserable by the end of that? No, just me? Just me? If you haven't been with that person, try talking less the next time you're with someone else, because that's probably you. There are times where it is appropriate to be quiet. Let me tell you something. We have not been quiet before the Lord enough. I probably will miss my paycheck the week that I do this, but one of these weeks I'm just going to be like, hey folks, we're just being quiet before the Lord, no preaching, no singing, and we'll see how that service sells. Like, I'm out of here. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening. And not only was she listening, but she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Mary was attentive. She knew what he was saying. She knew that there was life in his words. She knew that he was different than anyone else she had ever been around. Was it because he was handsome? Nope. Was it because he just had an aura about him? Nope. Scripture tells us there was none of that. Why was she drawn to him? Because he exuded the presence of God. How do we know that he had the presence of God? Because the scripture tells us that he spent time in solitude with his heavenly Father. She could see the difference. She could hear the difference. What he was saying was unlike anything anybody else had ever said. And she knew that. Folks, I'm really struggling because I want you so badly to hear this. We need to stop making excuses about time that we don't spend with the Lord. You say, well, gosh, I'm busy. I've got a lot of things. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'd love to do that, but then my mind wanders. Yes, and then what happens? We don't practice the presence of Jesus, and if we don't practice, then yes, you won't strengthen your prayer life, or you won't strengthen your spiritual life. It's like me going into the weight room and saying, put 500 on, I'm good to go. No, I hadn't lifted in 20 years, but I guarantee you, I did 150 back in the day, so put 500 on. That's not the way it works. I don't know if you can tell just by my body, but if I were to walk outside right now and say, hey, let's run a marathon, I have no idea. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It would end, if I truly tried to do a marathon, it would end at some point in time with me sitting at the feet of Jesus. It would, because I would be on my knees begging for mercy. You can think about what mile that would be, and you would be wrong, because I wouldn't make a mile. But Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. And why did she do that? Because Jesus said, there's one thing that's necessary. There's one thing that's necessary. If in your spiritual Christian life, if I were to ask you this morning, sum up Christianity. So I'm saying Christianity, that means we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about asking Christ to come into your heart. I'm saying sum up the one thing that needs to be done in the Christian life. And I guarantee you, if we had not started here, we'd have a litany of answers. We need to do missions. We need to tell people about our faith. We need to go to church. And all of these things are great. They are. But they should start by sitting at the feet of Jesus. They should start by being held. The use of the title Lord, by the way, is extraordinary, because what Mary is saying really is she's acknowledging who Jesus is. By the way, this is pre-cross, right? She's saying, my Lord. She's using a word that distinguishes Jesus. You ready to talk about ourselves? Because probably most of us will fit into this category. Most of us. Believers must learn at the feet of Jesus. And I believe what we see is that Martha was learning, but not at the feet of Jesus. Martha was distracted by worry. See what I'm talking about? I mean, I was using the word distracted, and you would think that this morning that we had planned the distractions, and we did not. Because I am telling you, when we start walking with Jesus, the enemy will bring more and more distraction. The problem with sitting at the feet of Jesus and being held by Jesus is that the enemy does not like that. Martha sometimes gets a bad rap, by the way. I want to acknowledge right now, this very moment, that Martha is actually a great character in the Bible. She's actually someone who knows Jesus. We know that Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus, and so they've spent time with Jesus. Some have even called Lazarus the best friend of Jesus. Remember that the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, was directed because Lazarus had died, and he had been in the grave for 4 days. And Mary and Martha, when they go to Jesus, they say, if you had been here, we know that our brother wouldn't have died. But now we know that God will do anything you ask. Martha knew Jesus. And so Martha, like any good Baptist, says, are we going to have Jesus here? Great, let's make the preparations. Let's get the floor clean. Let's make sure all the meals are prepared. Did we get the clean house? We got to make sure that happens. Guys, get this stuff together. He's right there. And she's making all these preparations. By the way, it's interesting to note that Martha is the one who invited Jesus to come to the house. She is the one who said, hey, Jesus, come on in. Come to our house. You can stay with us. She is definitely someone who knows Jesus. And you can just imagine, as she's making all the preparations, she's saying things in her mind, something to attune to, my sister's a super spiritual. Get up. Work. Do something. It's Jesus. Come on. Can anybody identify? If you come to the Pardue household, if you come to the Pardue household, there's a mad dash usually to make sure that everything is in its place. Everything is in its place. And we have Christian events. We've got to make sure that everything is in its place. Martha here is distracted by worry. I want you to know that she loves the Lord, but she's distracted. The second thing, though, I want to make sure that we get is that her attitude was wrong. Martha was distracted by jealousy. Did you know that Christians have jealousy? Just two of you, thank you. That we're jealous of one another. I like her clothes. She's always so well dressed. In fact, I like her clothes, but I don't like her. I like that pastor a lot, but there must be something going wrong in their church. I like that pastor a lot, but I can't believe that they run that many in their church. And we're jealous of one another. Let me tell you something. That attitude is horrendous. It's awful. It's terrible. If you're pinning something down, by the way, don't put up yet. If you're pinning something down, I want to make sure that you pin this down. We need God's grace. And I know that's not monumental. You probably have heard that before. But I want you to hear this morning, that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Grace, we can't earn God's grace. We can't earn God's grace. But trust me, as a believer, we need to give effort. And that effort should be spent time sitting at the feet of Jesus. It does take effort to be held. As an adult, it takes effort to be held. It takes effort to silence our heart and our mind before the Lord. You'll never earn your way to heaven. You won't. And if you came here with that this morning, I want to free you from that. There's no earning your way to heaven. But as a believer, maybe even for many of you, most of you, maybe as a Baptist, it's okay to give effort. But I want to make sure that we hear this. Most importantly, I pray that we will give effort to do what Mary did. Because most of the time, our effort is to do what Martha did. Right? Again, I'm not saying that necessarily Martha was wrong, but was it best? We live too much time in our Christianity doing good things, but are they the best things? In your relationship with the Lord, do you want to have a good relationship? Or do you want to have the best relationship? Not best as in better than everybody else. Best as in, I want to spend time communing with the Father. Who is Jesus, the King of Glory. The King of Glory. And I pray that in your relationship with God, that yes, you give effort and you do things, but that you would spend time being at the feet of Jesus. Would you pray with me? So God, you know that we struggle with silence. You know that solitude and getting away and not being distracted is not the first thing on our mind. God, you also know how absolutely crucial it is that we spend time with you at the feet of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that as we effort, that some of our effort will be directed in doing nothing but taking you in, sitting at your feet, spending time in your word so that we can know you better. Too many times, your church is trying to out-effort every other church, and we're doing it meaninglessly. God, we get distracted for sure. And God, I don't know if what was going on this morning was to be an illustration, but God, we'll certainly take it as that. I pray we would be quiet before you. I pray that we would know what you are doing and join you. So God, I pray that we live at your feet. Don't know what that means. Maybe that means that some this morning have never put their faith and their trust in you, and they need to trust you this morning for the first time. They want to sit at your feet. They want to know what it means to be a believer. They want to know what it means to be able to walk away from all the burden and the entanglement of sin and to be freed from the chains. God, I pray that if that's the case this morning, God, that you would not stop bothering those people until they have made it right with you this morning. God, I pray for those who are here who just need to spend time here before the Lord. And maybe the picture of sitting at the feet of Jesus is sitting at the altar at the church. And God, I pray that if that's the case, that would happen. I pray for those who are looking and have been looking for a place to serve, and they're trying to figure out, where am I working? What am I doing? But God, they would spend time just at your feet. So God, even as we sing, our hearts want to be one with your heart. God, we both want to experience you, and we want to know you with our mind. God, as we sing, we pray you would allow us to get rid of the chains that so easily entangle. Amen. Would you stand? This time is going to be used for, if you want to come to this altar and pray and feel even somewhat released, if you will, or just want to use this altar as a place just to sit at the feet of Jesus, you are welcome to do that. If you want to join this church, again, we would love to. We'd celebrate having you with us. If you need to give your life to Jesus and you don't know how to do that, man, I would love to be able to share with you how to do that. It's the most important thing that we do here at the church. But I pray that even as we sing, that you would just rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Sean's going to sing. You come, you respond as the Holy Spirit leads.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling all sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? And why should we and heed not his mercies for you and for me. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of the sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrow and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
God, thank you for your presence. And I pray that we would live at your feet. God, that is both illustrative but also very personal. So God, I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would be encouraged by Your Spirit to just sit with You, be changed by You. Pray You take this offering now, as we come to this time in our service, that You would help use this offering to further Your kingdom and Your kingdom's work. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Longing stirs in my soul, draws me near, calls me close, deeper into this love that won't run out, won't dry up. Oh, let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Only now will I come before Your throne, Holy One. By Your thunderous grace calls me close, draws me near. Oh, let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Let Your glory fall, overwhelm my soul. Let Your throne, Holy One. Jesus, reign in this place. Thirsty we cry, heaven in vain. Let Your glory fall, overwhelm my soul. Let Your presence flood my life. Oh,
This is Patricia. She's our preschool director. I'm going to give her a microphone. She doesn't like the microphone, so I said I would come up with you and look like a fool because I do that every Sunday morning. It comes naturally to me, so hope that helps. I don't know if that helps or not. Okay. So you have announcements for us. Tell us what.
So I just have a few things I want to say. You already introduced me if somebody doesn't know me, but we have a need in the preschool area. If you're interested and you have a heart for the babies and want to come teach them about Jesus, we need volunteers. So if you're interested, you can come see me. I'll be at the welcome desk after, and I'm starting to shake. But I'll be at the welcome desk after services if you want to come see me, or my number's on the bulletin, so you can call me. And also, if you weren't aware, we have a quiet room that's right off of the sanctuary that if you have a baby and you want to still get to enjoy the sermon, I'm starting to shake again.
It's okay.
That you can take your baby in there and you still get to see the sermon on the TV. So I just wanted to let you know about that.
And what's the commitment? Is it like a commitment where you take blood and you write your name in blood and it's forever?
No.
I mean, what are you looking for? Once a month?
Once a month would be great. And if we had more people sign up, the less that one person would be able to have to do it. So,
And
it's really a joy. We have ages from infant on up to 4 years old. So they're sweet kids.
And it's really fun. I have little ones. So I volunteer in there periodically. I was in there today. So, and it's really, really neat to see those little ones walk away from your Bible story and get the point. So it's really, really neat opportunity for ministry. So please see Patricia after the service at the welcome desk to sign up for that. Also, we have lots of construction going on. Our fellowship hall is completely torn apart. If you can't even go in there, it's all taped off. And we do have these beautiful lights up above the stage that are not on yet because they're not done yet. So we're going to have those things done here pretty quick, so you'll be seeing some changes like that going on. So,
one other thing I just want to make sure that you are aware of, and I want to thank the guys for music this morning. Sean, who normally doesn't always do our music, we have many musicians out this morning, and these guys did a fantastic job. I appreciate that. We have our pianist, our little organist, our drummer, and our music guy, and you couldn't even tell it. So I appreciate you guys so very much. Brenly, come stand by me. Mom and Dad, come stand by me. Brenly is saying this one. Hey, you don't even know. You don't know yet. You don't know yet. She's taking a position at a CEO 500 company. No, I'm kidding. She came to the office a few weeks ago with Mom and Dad and said, hey, actually, she told me at Vacation Bible School, I want you to know that this past weekend, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. And I was like, fantastic. And so we've been waiting for this. And we had an opportunity to visit about that in my office. And we're ready to go. So we're going to be doing our baptism in the next couple of weeks. And you're going to be seeing a different picture because Dad will be in that baptism with me and helping to be part of that. And we're really, really excited about that as we always are. And so if you're happy about that, you say amen. Clap and stand up. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. We're gonna pray and then we will go.
Lord, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. And God, just thank you for that. You're changing people's lives. You're working, and God, we're just happy to be a part of that. God, we thank you for the Camerons and their family, and just this decision that's been made. And God, we pray as a church that we would just continue to uplift them as their family walks with Christ. God, be with us as we leave this place. God, we pray that we would share your word with others as we come in contact with them this week. And God, bring us back next week for worship. In your name I pray. Amen.